Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Stephen. Great. And we're back here again on Sunday night.
Our new time.
Our new time, Sunday evenings at 7:30. And for those of us that used to, those of you that used to listen at Saturday at 7, and you're just coming across this now, we've changed our time to Sunday at 7:30 p.m. Same show, same two guys, different time.
So you're not late. It is not the previous day. It is Sunday.
That's right. It is Sunday. So, and we like this time better, and I hope you that you all do too. And we're just going to, we continue with the same kind of format, and we'll bring you the same kind of programming, and once in a while, an interview with some interesting person and who's working in the kingdom. And
amen.
The rest of the time, we'll be doing our usual studies and commentaries. And even though it is the 15th of January, we are going to do one more sort of right after Christmas show. I know you're all Christmased out, but all the decorations are down.
Are the Magi still here?
Yes, they've been here all this week.
We held them over for a week,
yes.
I know.
If you were with us last week on the show, we were going to get to the Magi, but we got into talking about some really good points about the circumcision and the presentation of Jesus in the temple, and we did some Bible teaching based on that and kind of set it in a historical perspective, and the wise men were out in the parking lot waiting to come in, but
well, they were gracious enough to come back.
They decided to wait, and the camels have been parked out here all week, and they've been staying down here at the Holiday Inn, so now we're going to talk about them today because they need to get back because they got a long journey ahead of them.
Amen.
Anyway. Well, let's get serious. Anyway, the three wise men. We think there were three based on three gifts. Mm-hmm. Nobody really knows for sure.
Right.
There might have been four. There might have been eight. Might have been 14.
Could have been a whole caravan.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There were might have been one guy with three gifts, but it talks about them in plural, so it had to be more than one. But traditionally, it's been thought there were three of them because of the three gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about their experience both on the way to Bethlehem while they were in Jerusalem, while they were actually in Bethlehem, because they have kind of an interesting journey here. And we really have to start by saying that the only thing we know for sure is that these men were not Jews.
Right.
They were Gentiles, and they were from the East. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, but they definitely were not Jews. And it's just kind of interesting because whenever this happened, we don't know exactly for sure how long after Jesus' birth this actually was, but it's kind of interesting that Jesus is then manifested to Gentile people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here we have the Jewish Messiah, and we've talked, you know, these last few years about the plan of salvation unfolding and Jesus having his human heredity through the chosen people, starting with Abraham and going through the whole lineage.
Right.
And now he's actually born. And we talked about last week his circumcision and presentation, where he's, you know, presented to his own people and enters into the covenant with him,
mm-hmm.
you know, starts to follow the law, circumcision, presentation.
Right.
And he submits himself to the law, enters into the covenant. And now we have these interesting Gentile people that are coming. So this is already a prefigurement that Gentiles were going to come too. Interestingly, as we go on with this lesson, we're going to see how it kind of prefigures that Gentiles were going to come and most of the Jews were not going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a prefigurement of what's going to happen over the next 50 to 100 years.
Right.
But anyway, these three, or however many there were, wise men, they're called wise men because they were really smart. They were, they knew a lot. They read a lot. They were very learned. You know, some places they're called kings. We don't know if they really were kings.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
we don't really know much about them.
You know, I've heard it said that the reason that there's not too much mentioned about them in the scripture is that if the scripture writer, if they were, more well known, or if they would have named who they are, that we have to remember that Herod asked them to come back and report to him where the child Jesus was born. And they, after a dream, they were told to depart a different way. And so, you know, there's some thought that perhaps that they were not really talked about a lot because they, you know, to avoid any persecution or something mm-hmm. like that. And that's, you know, it's a possibility, but it's, you know, again, it could be speculation, but
yeah.
We don't know a lot about them. And, you know, they're said to be wise men or astrologers,
mm-hmm.
Or kings. And it's interesting to me that, you know, they come from the East and yet they understood the scripture well enough to know that when they saw this star,
mm-hmm.
that it caught their attention and they followed it.
Yeah.
And again, we don't know exactly when they saw it, but based on, you know, how Herod had the infants 2 years and under put to death to try and kill the Christ child,
mm-hmm.
it might be that they saw it. Maybe they, you know, it might be 2 years, might be a little bit more, a little bit less.
Right.
But some of that stuff is not so clear. But what's relayed in Scripture is important enough to know that they came and they worshipped the Christ child.
Mm-hmm.
These Gentiles came and worshipped the Christ child and brought him gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because, you know, presumably these men knew a lot about Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
They lived in pagan lands.
Right. I mean,
they definitely were not people that were in the covenant with the Jews.
Right.
And they were very... astrology and the movements of the stars are very important to these people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to read a scripture verse in a minute, which is kind of interesting. But usually when a new star appeared or some incredibly different thing happened in the heavens, it was thought that a very important person had been born.
Mm-hmm.
A king had been born or something was going to happen that was going to change things.
Right.
And these men were very tuned into that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. whenever this star appeared and whatever it was, they knew that something had happened. And interestingly, they knew that they were going to start out on a journey to go there. And, you know, when they get to Herod, we're going to get to this in a minute, but when they get to Jerusalem and they talk to the king, they say, "We saw his star in the east."
Mm-hmm.
So where they lived, they saw this star and they knew that it meant something.
Yeah.
And interestingly, if you would read, I always give Steve a reading assignment here. In the book of Numbers, now that is, you know, for those of you that don't know about the Old Testament, the Tanakh, the book of Numbers is one of the five books of Moses. And, you know, it's part of the Torah. So this is long before Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah is born. It's long before any of these three men were born. But in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, why don't you read that, Stephen?
Okay. "I see him, though not now. I behold him, though not near. A star shall advance from Jacob, and a staff shall rise from Israel, that shall smite the brows of Moab and the skulls of all the Shuhites."
Hmm. That's interesting. This is, well, we're not going to get into that, but this is Balaam or Balaam, the,
mm-hmm.
you know, that one of the kings hired to curse the Israelites, and he ends up blessing them, and he has this prophecy.
Right.
Which is really cool. "I see him," capital H, "but not now. I behold him, but not near. You know, a star shall come out of Jacob."
Mm-hmm.
Jacob, of course, is Israel.
Right.
Jacob, of course, is Jesus' ancestor.
Right.
You know, and this guy sees him, but he's not near, but he sees him, and a star is going to come out of Jacob. A scepter, a staff is going to come out of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So a ruler is going to be born. And, you know, he likens him to a star.
Right.
And then, you know, a couple of thousand years later, these guys show up and say, hey, we saw his star in the east, and that's why we're here.
Yeah.
And Herod, of course, you know, Herod's one of these weird characters in history because, you know, he's called Herod the Great, which is, you know, kind of funny. He probably named himself that.
Probably.
He named himself that. And, you know, he's known for doing a couple of good things. He expanded the temple in Jerusalem. He enlarged it. And he built a retaining wall around the base of the Temple Mount, which we still have part of as the Western Wall.
Western Wall, yeah.
Which is the holiest site of Judaism because it's at the base of the Temple Mount. And, of course, the temple hasn't been there since 70 A.D. And this section of retaining wall which is left, which many people, you know, mistakenly think is, you know, part of the temple, was not part of the temple, but Herod built it. And Herod was kind of a puppet king that the Romans put in power.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, he's thought to have been an Edomite. Edomites are descended from Esau. So they're sort of, you know, Jacob's his father too. I mean, Isaac is their father too.
Yeah.
But they're off on a different branch.
Yeah.
Because, of course, the chosen people come from Jacob, who then becomes Israel.
Right.
So he's an Edomite. And, you know, the Romans have set him in power. He's kind of their puppet king, which fulfills another prophecy, which, Steve, if you want to read Genesis, Genesis is the first book of Moses, chapter 49, verse 10. This is really interesting.
Okay. The scepter shall never depart from Judah, or the mace from between his legs, while tribute is brought to him, and he receives the people's homage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when what's the next verse? Does it have...
He tethers his donkey to the vine?
No, about the verse before that.
Okay. Judah, like a lion's whelp, you have grown up on prey, my son. He crouches like a lion recumbent, the king of beasts. Who would dare rouse him? The scepter shall never depart from Judah, or the mace from between his legs, while tribute is brought to him, and he receives the people's homage.
Mm-hmm. So Judah was the tribe that was of leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, the mace is a sign of authority. When a king sits on a throne, in fact, even our Congress, our House of Representatives, somebody comes in carrying a mace when they're in session. It's a sign of authority. So it says that the scepter's not going to depart from Judah. They're going to be in charge. And it references there the Lion of Judah, who's the Messiah.
Yeah.
So Jacob prophesies this at the end of Genesis and says that when the scepter does depart, that's when Shiloh is going to come. Mm-hmm. And Shiloh is another term in the Old Testament for the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only place that it's used.
Yeah.
Later on, the ark would be set up at Shiloh. But at this point, the scepter had left Jerusalem because this king, who wasn't really supposed to be king because he was not a Judahite, was king.
Right.
Because the Romans had made him king. So it was time for the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
So another prophecy is fulfilled.
Yeah.
And, you know, the wise men see a star. You know, they said a star is going to come out of Jacob. The scepter, you know, Judah's not in power. So Shiloh is going to come. So the time is set for the Messiah. Now, these men, as you mentioned, Steve, were astrologers. They're called magi because it comes from the Greek word. We get the word magic from that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So these guys were kind of, you know, astrologers. They kind of dabbled in magic arts, and we know what it says in the Torah about that.
Mm-hmm.
God frowns on that kind of thing.
Yeah.
no fortune telling, no astrology, no divination. I mean, you know all that. And, you know, God uses that, you know, for his own purposes.
Right.
Okay, you guys like to know about stars? Here's a new star.
Yeah.
Now start following it. You know, it's like, here's a really important thing has happened.
Yeah.
So he's talking to them in a language that they understand, which is actually against the law, which is in the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
But God uses it for his purposes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was going to go back into chapter 49 of Genesis, where at verse 8 it says, "You, Judah, shall your brothers praise, your hand on the neck of your enemies, the sons of your father shall bow down to you." Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Judah like a lion's whelp. But like with, you know, with the stars and, you know, we use the stars and the sun and the moon to look at the seasons, the change of seasons, the change of the month and stuff like that. But you don't look to the stars for your answers to,
right.
And that's,
and that's why that's condemned in the
Torah. That's why it's condemned, right.
So, you know, I know some of you out there are going to say, well, I just read my horoscope because it's fun and it's kind of a game. It's better not to read the horoscope and not to have fun with it.
Yeah. 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 You know, there's, because I studied astronomy a lot when I was younger. And, you know, you look at the constellations and you know that in certain months of the year, this constellation is going to be this part in the sky and stuff like that. So you can tell what time of the year it is by where the, by where these constellations are at.
Right.
But you don't, you know, obviously our hope and our salvation is in God and not in the stars, because he created the stars.
Exactly. And the whole system of astrology and the prediction of things from that, it's a demonic, you know, kind of perversion of, you know, it's using part of the creation to be more important than God. You worship the creature rather than the creator.
Right.
And that's what astrology is, and that's why it's condemned.
Yeah.
Because if I open up my horoscope and say, oh, here's what I'm supposed to do today, you know, I'm not depending on God or his providence or his direction or his guidance.
Yeah.
I'm saying somebody's telling me this is what I should do because of where the stars are today.
Yeah.
So, no, that's, you know, frowned on, to put it mildly.
Exactly.
In the Torah. Yeah. So, you know, God uses this for his purposes, and these guys are in the East. Now, you know, when the Jews talked about people in the East, they're talking about like in Arabia and Persia and, you know, all these places. And, you know, people from the East had come, they knew about Jerusalem because Jerusalem was on a trade route. And so they had also come to pay homage to David and to Solomon when they were king. I mean, not these same three guys, but, you know, they're people from those areas. And interestingly, they know that somebody very important has been born. Mm-hmm. And somehow, you know, they maybe knew about some of the Jewish prophecies because they were learned people. And they knew maybe the concept that there was going to be a king of Israel who was going to be some type of Messiah, and maybe this was it, so let's go see. And, you know, they have some kind of a draw to go there.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because they're far away and they're not Jews.
Yeah. And, you know, they're far away, and we have to remember that in those days, you didn't have a printing press. You didn't have mass production of the Bible or the Torah.
Yeah.
You had scrolls. You had scribes that copied this, the scroll, and that's how they made another copy of it. You know, there was no Xerox machines.
Right.
And just didn't run it through and go, okay, let's scan this and run off a couple hundred copies.
Yeah.
So
you couldn't send it to them as an attachment.
You couldn't?
No.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, that just amazes me that they had this much knowledge of the scriptures.
Yes.
Ooh.
I hear an awesome song by Paul Wilbur.
Is Paul
Wilbur? Wow, so first break already. Well, this is A Gift of Grace. You can find us online at giftofgraceministries.org and on Facebook. And we're going to listen to this and be back in just a minute on The Gift of Grace.
We will be right back with The Gift of Grace right here on AM 1220, The Word.
Come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God. Let the weight of your glory cover. and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. So we have these magi on the road, finally.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there's their camels still parked up there. Anyway. And, you know, they go some amount of distance. I mean, we don't know exactly where they came from, but they go to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jerusalem was the main city. Bethlehem was a little city.
Yeah.
It was David's city, but it was a little town. So I think, you know, that these guys probably thought, well, if a very important king has been born, he's probably going to be in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
After all, Jerusalem's the capital.
Right.
That's where the palace is. That's where the temple is.
Mm-hmm.
So our best bet is we'll go to Jerusalem because that's probably where he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe they even thought as they were going that if they were coming from all that distance, maybe everybody over there in Jerusalem was actually worshiping and paying homage to this new king.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they get there, they're kind of surprised that nobody knows anything about it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, too, that they call him the King of the Jews.
Yes.
Yeah, they say, wow, where's the King of the Jews? Now, mm-hmm. You know, Herod didn't like that much.
No. No,
thought he was the King of the Jews.
He was a little bit put off by that.
Yeah, you know, he wasn't really one to sit around hoping for prophecy to be fulfilled.
No.
he was interested in his own power, his own government. After mm-hmm. all, he had the authority of the Roman Empire behind him, and, mm-hmm. and you know, he was the guy.
Yeah.
He was the guy who was in charge.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, they come and they say, we want to see him and we want to honor him. I mean, here's these guys. They show up. They're not even Jews. And basically, they want to worship him. They call him King of the Jews, and they want to worship him
and
honor him. I mean, this is really amazing when you think about this. I mean, people didn't come from other countries and go, hey, we want to worship the King of the Jews.
Yeah.
mean, wow, this is amazing. So this is kind of a prefigurement of, you know, the Gentiles were going to come too. The king was going to be not just king of the Jews, but he was going to be king for everyone. He was going to be Messiah for everyone.
Right.
Gentiles included.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, later on, you know, St. Paul will explain that in a lot of good detail. But they don't know St. Paul yet.
Not yet.
he's not born yet. But anyway, so they come. They want to honor him. So they've come from this faraway place. I mean, let's say it's 500-600 miles away on camels through a desert. They go through this long, uncomfortable journey just to find this king of the Jews, just to find the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
They come all that way. You know, it's kind of like as we journey through life, you know, we want to find the Messiah too.
Yeah.
You know, we go through uncomfortable journeys and hardships and,
mm-hmm.
you know, terrible things and say, I want to find the Messiah.
Yeah.
These guys kind of went through it physically. Then they get to Jerusalem and the people living there don't even know about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty cool. And they ask, where is he? I mean, they don't say, like, has he been born? Or do you guys know anything about some important person being born? Or do you guys know anything about any of this? They just, they ask where he is.
They're certain that this has already taken place.
Yeah, exactly. There's no question in their mind
mm-hmm.
that he's born.
Yeah.
The only thing they're asking is, well, where is he? Because we want to go see him, and we brought stuff for him.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, as you're saying that, it's you know, it's reminding me that they're asking, you know, where is he at? And they're expecting for them to just say, oh, okay, he's over here.
Yeah.
At the, you know, they're at the Holiday Inn here.
That's right. And,
well, no, there wasn't any Holiday Inns back then. But
there was no room in the inn.
There was no room at the inn. They were booked. But, yeah, they're asking, they're coming there and they're asking, where's he at? Where's this king of the Jews, this newborn king of the Jews? We want to worship mm-hmm. him and pay him homage. And they're like, we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this is kind of, I was thinking about this the other night. And, you know, I always think about how these things that happened in the scriptures kind of are still reflected in life today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's people that are looking for the Messiah. They're looking for Jesus. And they ask people who should know where he is, like, well, where is he?
Yeah.
And people say, well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah.
It still happens, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the people there should have known. It's their prophecy. It's mm-hmm. their, you know, all their things.
Yeah.
They don't know, and these strangers come and say, well, where is he? We want him. We want to worship him. We want to see him.
And, you know, that's true a lot of times in life, if you think about it. When you're in the middle of a situation and you're in the midst of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, somebody from the outside will come by and
yeah.
tell you something that's really so obvious.
Yeah.
And you go, wow, how did I miss that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And that happens so much throughout human history or just in our daily lives.
Yes.
That sometimes we need that outside perspective.
That's right.
To gain some clarity.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we have to keep in mind too, and you that are listening to this, I mean, you may be believers and faithful Christians, but you know, you always have to be ready to show somebody where the Messiah is.
Yes.
You know, your faith in Messiah is not a private thing that you say, well, this is just for me. I'm not going to tell that guy about it.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody comes and they're searching, you got to be able to help them. You got to be able to direct them.
Exactly.
And nobody in Jerusalem directed them. In fact, it got to be kind of wild because Herod now, he gets kind of worried. You know?
Yeah.
He doesn't want scriptures to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to end his power. He doesn't want to end his reign.
Right.
So.
Well, he tells the wise men, you know, well, when you find him, come back and tell, let me know. Yeah, you find him and let me know where he's at.
Yeah,
you know?
as if he's going to go worship too.
Yeah.
But, you know, what he does first is he gathers the chief priest and the scribes and like all these smart guys together. Because
mm-hmm.
now he's worried.
Yeah.
He knows that there's a Messiah coming.
Mm-hmm.
So he gathers them together and says, okay, so where's the Messiah supposed to be born? You know, it's like these guys are here saying they saw this. They're here. They want to see him. So where's he supposed to be born? I mean, now he's worried.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's troubled.
Yeah.
Because now there's a threat to him. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, he gathers together these teachers and the people that know the law and the people that know the prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice what happens in that passage is, in fact, I'm going to have Steve read us in a second. When he gathers them together and say where and says, where's the Messiah supposed to be born? They don't say, well, you know, I don't, let me go look that up and we'll get back to you. Let me go Google it. Let me go to the library. They immediately come up with Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Do you want to read that, Steve?
Yeah, I'm going to read actually from
verse
1.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good, good.
But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient times. Mm-hmm. Therefore the Lord will give them up until the time when she who is to give birth has born, and the rest of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel.
Mm. So this is cool. So Herod says, so where's he going to be born? And they go, open up the scroll. They know exactly where it was. It's in Bethlehem.
And it's interesting. They knew where it was.
Yes.
And yet they missed it.
That's the prophet Micah's best known prophecy is the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem.
Yeah.
And interestingly, of course, when you study the Old Testament, the Tanakh, and you read the book of 1 Samuel, you know that David was from Bethlehem.
Right.
This Bethlehem is the city of David.
Right.
You know, David was the great king. This is where he was born. This is where he grew up. It's just a short distance outside of Jerusalem. Even in those days, it was when the city was smaller, it was just a short way outside. But Bethlehem is the city of David. Jesus, the Messiah, is the son of David. All through the scriptures, you know, one of his messianic titles is the son of David.
Right.
He sits on the throne of David.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, he's more than that, but, you know, to keeping in line the lineage that he's literally descended from King David and is king over Israel, he sits on David's throne.
Right.
So that's one of his messianic titles. So Bethlehem is the city of David, and Jesus is the son of David.
Yeah.
And that's where the Messiah is going to be born. They knew this prophecy. The Jews knew that prophecy. The Jewish thinkers and leaders and teachers of today know, even though they don't think the Messiah has come yet, they know the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem because they know Micah chapter 5, verse 2.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's just as we're going through it, it's incredible that they tell Herod. They go right to the scrolls, right to the scripture, and they tell him what's going to happen and where it's going to happen at.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, in the course of time, we find out that many of them missed what was taken. Many of them just missed it. They overlooked what took place.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting that the Jews knew the prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And these Gentiles knew that that was the time.
Yeah.
He's here already.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
It is.
So these guys come from Arabia or somewhere.
Yeah.
And they say, okay, Messiah's here. Where is he?
Yeah. Come on. Let's see him.
Because we saw the star.
Yeah.
So this is really kind of an interesting series of events here.
Well, I think it's something that each one of us can take from and recognize that we don't always see things as clearly as sometimes as we think we do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we were just talking about, that perspective from another person from outside the situation can always, you know, sometimes can bring a brighter light to it.
Yeah.
And show you something that you've overlooked.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
So it's...
That's interesting. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And I mean, we're looking at it from 2,000 years of history, and we go, well, yeah, sure. That's obvious.
Yeah.
But at the time, when you're in the midst of it, you can miss it.
I mean, that's probably happened to... You, Stephen, and everybody who's listening, where you think you understand something, you've been studying it, you've made notes, you've read a couple of commentaries, and I say, I really got this down now. And somebody from outside comes and says, oh, but what about, and you go, whoa.
I never thought of that. Exactly.
So, although Herod, you know, he wasn't happy about this whole situation.
No.
He was kind of in a panic mode. And interestingly, like you mentioned before, he says, well, okay, you guys, why don't you go find him and then come back and tell me where he is?
Yeah.
And then I'll go worship him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's got this, you know, kind of evil intent.
Yeah.
And he covers it up with this like false religion. Oh, yes, I'm going to go worship him too.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me know where he is, you know.
Yeah.
Give me a call when you find him and, you know, I'll be over.
Yeah.
Or no, he didn't, couldn't have called him. He said, that's why he said, well, come back, let me know where he is and then I'll go worship him.
Yeah.
And you guys can go home. And, you know, very deceptive.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I think it's another example of, like, even the world we live in today.
Mm.
We, you know, I've encountered it. I'm sure you haven't.
Yeah.
You've encountered it. I'm sure everybody's encountered it, where somebody tells you one thing and they really mean something else.
Oh, yeah.
But it's hard to discern that sometimes. And, you know, Jesus says, let your yes mean yes and your
yes.
no mean no. Anything else is from the evil one.
Yeah.
And that's a clear example of.
That's
what
a
Jesus
great point
is talking about. You
That's
know?
A great point.
Yeah, you need your yes means yes, and your no means no. And you know, if I tell somebody something that is anything less than that, then there's deception and deceit in my own heart.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wow, that's very well put. Yeah, and you can see, you know, Herod, even you know, this Herod then becomes the father of the next Herod. Now, this is, the, you know, the Herod that comes after him, Jesus calls him that fox.
Yeah, the sequel.
the sequel. So these guys were deceitful and they were cunning.
Mm-hmm.
And, and this is how the kingdom of darkness operates.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a truth to something.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's deceit. There's a very cunning way to lead people actually away from what's
yeah.
true. And it all starts out with a kernel of truth. Yes, I want to go worship him too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, fortunately these guys get a message from another angel. I think it's Gabriel. I think some other angel. Gabriel was resting at this point. But, yeah, so they have this encounter with Herod. And I think that these wise men, these magi, probably were a little surprised that they were the only ones excited about this.
Probably.
Yeah. They were the only ones excited. And we don't know exactly where the star is at this point. And
yeah.
I've often wondered, like, well, why didn't Herod just follow the star? You know, I don't know if Herod didn't see the star
yeah.
or what. But clearly at this point, they're not seeing the star.
Right.
And they're going to see it again. You know, in a little bit, and it's finally going to lead them to where he is. But
yeah.
This whole thing, too, is interesting because these Pharisees, scribes, whoever they were, these teachers that unrolled the scroll, they don't seem to ask these guys anything.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. I mean, you think they would be interested if the Messiah's come?
Yeah.
I mean, they should be the most interested of anybody there.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of like when I first came to the Lord. And I was so excited
yeah.
about it, and you
yeah,
want to tell
yeah,
everybody
yeah.
about it, and you go to church, and you're really excited, and then you see that other people aren't that excited.
Yeah.
You know, well, why aren't they excited like I am?
Yeah.
You know, and so it's similar to what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, they knew that this was the time for Messiah to be born.
Yeah.
And they were there to worship him and greet him and,
well,
and do him homage.
Yeah. Awesome.
So.
Here comes another awesome song. Oof. This is the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org and Facebook. And we'll be back in just a minute.
We will be right back with the Gift of Grace right here on AM 1220, The Word.
Kadosh,
The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Well, Steve, this is the last segment already.
That's it.
We got to get these wise men to Bethlehem.
I know, their camels are ready to go. Yeah. They're packed.
They're not waiting another week.
No.
Do you want to? Do you have Matthew chapter 2 there handy?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you just read what happens when they leave Jerusalem, and then we'll just make a few comments about that.
Okay. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." And after their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way.
Hmm. So now the star comes back. So interestingly, they leave Jerusalem. Nobody follows them. Nobody goes with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Like these three guys from Arabia, they leave the king, they leave Jerusalem, and they go to Bethlehem. Now, none of the Pharisees, none of the scribes, the king, nobody from the temple went with them.
Yeah.
No Levites, you know, made a procession over there to see what was going on.
Yeah.
They go there by themselves, the three of them. And, you know, nobody from Jerusalem goes. So these guys came from so far away, hundreds of miles away, and the Jews in Jerusalem didn't even go to the next town to see what was going on.
Yeah.
In the next town. I mean, we're talking about 6 miles, 8 miles.
Mm-hmm.
These guys had come hundreds of miles.
Yeah.
Now, in those days, even 6 or 8 miles, that was not a big journey, even in those days.
Yeah.
You could have walked it in a couple hours.
Yeah.
So nobody went. I mean, these were, you know, Messiah, Jesus' own people, the covenant people. And they just said, "Okay, well, nice meeting you guys. You know, have a nice visit." And, you know, and the bottom line here, too, I think that a point that comes out of these verses is that we have to go to him and worship, even if nobody else does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if we're with a bunch of people and they say, "Well, okay, you can go find him if you want. Let us know what happens." We still have to go worship him.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not like, "Oh, well, nobody else is going, so I guess I'll just stay here, too."
Yeah.
We have to do it. I mean, we have to go find him. And it's kind of interesting that these guys, these three Gentiles, were so determined to find the newborn king of the Jews. They knew he was Messiah. They were so determined that they just went. And then the star comes back, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it says they were overjoyed. I mean, they just rejoiced when they saw the star again.
Yeah.
Because they realized that this was God's guidance and, you know, giving them the direction and, you know, was going to take them to where they wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's, you know, they're being guided to where the Messiah is, to where Christ is.
Right.
Which is kind of neat.
Yeah. I mean, and they're, you know, they're trusting, it seems like they're trusting in God.
Yeah, exactly. The God of Israel.
Yeah. And they're foreigners.
Yeah.
You know, and what always strikes me as being interesting is when, you know, Jesus cures the 10 lepers and only one comes back and gives praise to God. And he goes, and has only this foreigner
only
come
this
back
foreigner, yes.
to give praise to God?
Right. Wasn't a covenant person.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they get guided to the Messiah.
Yeah.
Supernaturally. You know, like later on, you know, we've studied all these lines about when Paul writes that, you know, no one can say Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, we're given these things. When Jesus says to Peter, you know, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. My Father revealed this to you,"
mm-hmm.
at Caesarea Philippi.
Yeah.
You know, you need a supernatural guidance to be able to find him.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to deduce where he is and mathematically figure it out or logically figure it out.
Well, I think you see that and I can attest to this in my own life, is that before I had that encounter with the Lord, you know, I could read scripture and it just didn't make any sense to me.
Right.
And then after that encounter, wow, I feel like it was like I was missing this the whole time, but it's by the Spirit.
That's right.
That it's revealed.
That's right. Why don't you read the book of Revelation, chapter 22, just one verse, 16.
Okay. I thought you were going to have me read the whole book.
No.
Okay. 22:16. I, Jesus, sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star.
Ooh.
Wow.
So as Jesus says, I'm the root of the offspring of David.
Yeah.
He's the son of David, Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am the bright morning star.
Yeah.
So these guys are going to David's city, where David's ancestors were born, Jesse, his father, he was born, where, you know, if you study the book of Ruth, his great-grandmother Ruth, who was a Moabite, comes to live. I mean, this is really cool. So it's right in Bethlehem, and Jesus himself is the bright star.
Yeah.
And it's kind of neat. They find the child there with his mother, and, you know, this isn't the kind of place they were used to living. These guys were living in a really nice place.
Mm-hmm.
Palaces, very clean.
Yeah.
They had, you know, all their books. They had nice clothes. So they come to a poor situation and see this baby with his mother. And these were poor people, but they didn't care. I mean, they bowed down, they knelt down, they worshiped, and they gave the gifts.
Yeah.
They didn't care that they were really rich guys, and this was some poor little kid living in some little hovel. They worshiped, and they gave the gifts.
Yeah.
So even though he was this poor-looking baby, they discerned that this was the glory of God in this child.
Yeah, you know, and in Psalm 72, in verse 10, it says, may the kings of Tarshish and the islands bring tribute. The kings of Asia and Arabia and Saba offer gifts. May all kings bow down before him.
Ooh.
All nations serve him.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah, and when he gets, you know, is his one of his other messianic titles is the King of Kings.
Mm-hmm.
So here you have three kings bowing down before him. A young baby, maybe he's a year old, maybe two at the most.
Yeah.
You know, a little kid, maybe a toddler, you know, that was just there babbling with his mother, wasn't, you know, speaking great things yet. And they worshiped and gave the gifts and they bowed down. This is really cool.
Yeah.
They discerned the glory in this little child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's even prophesied in Isaiah in chapter 60.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in verse 6, caravans of camels shall fill you, dromedaries from Midian and Ephah. All from Saba shall come, bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. You know, so it's all prophesied. All these prophecies are fulfilled, you know, from Isaiah, from Micah, even in the Psalm.
Yeah. It's all flows together. You know, the whole, as we always say, the plan unfolds through the whole scripture.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible's the only holy book that has prophecy.
Yeah.
God says, I'll never do anything without telling you first what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he set all these things in motion, told the prophets about these things, and then as they become fulfilled, we're reminded of it when you read, you know, the accounts of what's happened.
Exactly. Yeah.
Whew.
It's awesome. I mean, it's just awesome the way God works and how he does that. You know,
And all these things were written over, you know, 2,500 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then it all comes down to this point that all those prophets were pointing to.
Mm-hmm.
And these three Gentiles are the only ones that show up there to see this.
Wow.
We promised that would be the last Christmas show.
Hallelujah, brother.
Wow, we're coming to the end of another show, so great being here with you. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. And be back with us next week.
And have an awesome week, everyone. We'll see you. We'll be back here on The Gift of Grace next Sunday at 7:30. Until then, have an awesome week. God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.